a status check on the exploding avionics industry. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this special feature. Thanks for downloading us. The Aircraft Electronics Association's four-day annual convention was held this year from April 23rd through the 26th, and it attracted nearly 1,800 avionics and aviation industry professionals from more than 15 countries. ANN's Jim Campbell seized the opportunity to get a check on the pulse of the industry from AEA President Paula Dirks.
Paula, first of all, congratulations on what appears to have been, or at least up to the last few hours, a truly spectacular AEA convention.
Well, thank you. It has been a very successful meeting. We've had close to 1,700 people register here in Washington, D.C., and we'll add a few more today because we've got all of our technical workshops put on by the manufacturers all afternoon today. So we don't close out until the last person's registered about 5 o'clock today.
And then it's everybody out of the pool.
Everybody out of the pool and back to work, and all the new products and technologies that were introduced this day. Go back and create a market for them, sell them, and get them outfitted into the cockpit of airplanes.
Well, we've had an interesting year. Aviation's been up against a number of challenges. We've got fuel going through the roof, reauthorization, which may finally be heading for a vote on the 28th. Just a number of things that concern us. What would you consider to be high on your most wanted list?
A lot of the things you mentioned are also, of course, a concern for our members, the rising fuel prices, FAA reauthorization funding, probably some of the regulatory initiatives that are coming down the pike. We keep waiting, and we hear that it's coming pretty quickly, the Part 145 ratings issue, a new class rating system for the avionics industry. So, of course, those are a concern to us and our members at the repair stations. So we're on top of that, and we will help guide them and direct them to adjust to this new ratings. We'll comment on the rulemaking as it is finally out on the street. We're involved a lot with training, because with all these new avionics technologies coming out, you know, the technicians need to know the integration, the troubleshooting, the maintenance of these products. So we can never offer enough training opportunities as well. So regulatory training and FAA reauthorizations on the forefront.
Well, for mom and pop Piper Cub out in the real world, one of the things I don't or I wish they could see was the amount of dedication that folks with shops and folks who are supplying this industry or building the gear take. They take this all so very seriously. I mean, they come out and they have fun, don't get me wrong. But there's a tremendous amount of training that goes on. There's a tremendous amount of dialogue that goes on about what to do, how to do it, how to do it better, how people are working with the industry and so forth. But talk a little bit about the training initiatives here. There just seems to be so much going on. There's rooms filled all throughout the Gaylord here with people learning how to do it better.
Right. Well, and let me first address quickly that the socializing portion of it, because to me the social networking, the coffee breaks, the evening parties are just as important as the training opportunities as far as networking, making those contacts. But of course, if you're going to rate them, obviously I'm going to say number one is setting in on that classroom training. We have more than 90 hours of FAA recognized training this week, in 1 week, a 4-day period, I should say, for the technician. And again, just to emphasize all these new avionics products coming out on the market, and as we prepare for next gen, these technicians are here and they're hungry for education and learning how to adapt to the technologies and turn around and explain it to their end user as well, which is their customer.
We talked about some of the cautions and some of the things that worry us, but at the same time, there's obviously some tremendous victories that this industry can espouse at this point and be bragging about. I mean, first of all, let's take a look at GA with synthetic vision. Wonderful little EFA systems that fit where 2-3-inch gauges used to go. And all manner of upgrades and sophistication and services, and nobody's standing still.
Nobody's standing still, thank goodness, right? Exactly. Yeah, no one's standing still. We're moving ahead, and I think one of the dynamic things is this synthetic vision you brought up. Who would have thought? Synthetic vision now available in the regular general aviation airplane and not just in the commercial jets and high-end business jets anymore. So I predict before we know it, the new light sport aircraft industry will be enjoying some of these exact same technologies.
Well, a lot of the glass panels are showing up in there already.
Already. They're there, and that's another thing we're trying to introduce our membership to the repair stations, is there is a vital market worth exploring there as well, and expanding your business to those areas as well, catering to those types of pilots and their needs.
you see an event this big and you see the agenda that you undertake throughout the year, and you figure there's got to be, what, 300-400 people over at AEA Central? Tell us the truth. How many are there?
There's actually 10 of us all together, 9 in the AEA headquarters office in Independence, Missouri, and 1 in our Washington, D.C. office. We're lean and mean, but I think what it is we're all dedicated to this industry, and all of us have the equal passion and desire to make this the best association it can be. We're small but mighty. It is. It's sun up to sundown during this week. We'll all go home and crash for a couple of days, and then we'll be right back at it. We've got regional meetings starting in 2 weeks. Our European meeting will be in Cologne, Germany, right there at EASA's headquarters. We've got some regulatory issues to handle over there. Bring our European members in for a two-day meeting. And from then on, you know the industry. It's show after show, and we keep the training coming. So busy times. Good times.
So last question. How would you judge the state of the industry, the avionics industry, right now, sitting here at the end of April 2008?
I would probably judge our segment of the industry much the same way I think the general public is judging the economy. We're guarded, but we're positive, and we know that, with the right moves by Congress and by the FAA, we're going to keep plowing ahead, and it's record year. I believe it'll be another record year for us and the avionics and the aviation industry.
We hope so.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you much, Paula.
In a moment, Jim Campbell returns from AEA with Doug Kane of Aspen Avionics. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. At last month's AEA annual convention, one of the manufacturers creating buzz was Aspen Avionics, which has moved from concept announcement to product delivery at a speed which is breathtaking, even from the perspective of this very fast-moving industry. Jim Campbell asked Aspen's Doug Kane to reflect and to look ahead.
Doug, when last we visited with Aspen Avionics, you guys were the belle of the ball at Oshkosh. Everybody was very excited. Look what's coming. Look what's coming. Well, it's no longer look what's coming. It's look what's delivering. That's a hell of a transition to make, isn't it?
It's a huge one. We set out a very ambitious goal for ourselves at Oshkosh, and we missed it by a couple of months, but basically have come up with everything we promised to do by the end of March. We got our TSO in March 14 and our initial AMLSTC on March 28 and started first customer shipments March 31st.
What kind of feedback are you getting from owners?
So far, they love it. The two things we hear most consistently are how easy and intuitive it is to use, and the level of automation, particularly for flying instrument approaches, almost to the point of being hands-off. And those are very positive feedback so far.
What are the installation people telling you at this stage of the game about installing the PFT?
It's really early on at this point because almost every dealer is doing their first installation, and the first install always takes longer. If I had to offer a gut feel, if you weren't doing anything else in a very simple airplane, maybe a week or two, something like that. If you get into something more complex, more pressurized, more advanced systems to integrate with, could take longer. But, of course, we're working with the dealers trying to find what is taking the time, what do they trip over, how much of it's just learning curve. And we should have a pretty good handle on that in the next few weeks, I think, as we get through more of these and people are on to their second, third, and fourth ones.
What's involved in an installation of this kind?
Probably two key factors. The first question is, is it a VFR or an IFR pilot? Do you want it to be a full IFR system, or is it largely VFR? If it's, let's say it's a VFR, the entry-level one, we'd probably, for that, use our pilot model, which lists at $59.95. In that case, you'd be integrating it into your GPS. just to have a flight plan overlay and legs and waypoints, but no course deviation indicator, none of the more advanced functions, no autopilot integration. So that's a fairly straightforward and fairly easy installation. The other extreme would be, let's say you have something pushing the current Class 2 or 6,000-pound limit, and you've got all the latest bells and whistles, maybe you've got dual Garmin 43530Ws installed and an advanced autopilot, and you want everything integrated within that. That's going to take a little more time. The big hardware difference on our system side is once you start tying into analog systems, whether it's the autopilot and flight director or old VHF nav radios or anything that's analog, you have an additional, we call it an analog converter unit or ACU, a small black box that converts everything into digital. So once you add that into the system, obviously you have more interconnects and takes more time. But that's really the only difference plus software between the two PFD models.
Now, as I understand it, for the current aircraft for which you have these units available, you're speed limited at the moment as far as, I think we're talking about 210 knots at this point. When do you expect to be able to open the envelope?
You know, we'd committed to getting out by the end of March, and we really, really tried to make our word on that. So we cut off what we could get into our initial approved model list by the end of March. And we were doing all our flight demos at the time in our Piper Turbo Lance, which has a VNE of, I think, 190 or 195. And based on what we exhibited at VNE of that aircraft, the FAA gave us a little bit more, up to 210. So what's always been the plan, and it's happening as we speak now, is we're doing demonstrations in two more installations that'll do a couple of things for us, all of which should be wrapped up by the end of May. The first is an expansion of the speed envelope up to ultimately 260 knots when we demonstrate it in our Cessna 210, and there'll be an interim aircraft that may bring it up to the 225 range. Additionally, that'll add the Century line and the Cessna ARC line of autopilot flight director systems.
Well, it's a piston-oriented market for you at the moment. Do you have any turbine aspirations?
We said initially we wanted all Part 23 Class 1, 2, and 3 airplanes, so that includes everything from, you know, the very smallest, slowest, I don't know, Piper Cub, all the way up through Citation 500s, King Air B200s. As we said last December, there are a lot of additional certification things we'll have to do to get the Class 3 airplanes, and I suspect we'll add those in stages, probably initially the somewhat heavier side of light twins, piston twins, and probably additional requirements as we move up. But ultimately, we're really not excluding any segment, at least of the Part 23 market.
You've really excited an industry. Nobody's quite seen a product like this before. Obviously, glass panel is all the rage, but a glass panel that literally can drop into the old, and shall we say, almost defunct panels that are currently in vogue in way too many airplanes. This is something that nobody was really expecting somebody to be able to hit the mark the way that you did. But where do you go from here?
Well, that's a good question. We've got our hands full kind of in fleshing out this line, because one of the whole concepts of it is that you can upgrade in stages, and that once you have the hardware platform, we can deliver additional software that can unlock or implement whole new features. So there's a lot of growth left within the whole Evolution flight display product family, both in hardware and software features upgrading to that. And you can look around what's happening in the industry today and what people are doing at the cutting edge on glass panel displays today, and you can imagine a lot of that we could do in software. And then, obviously, if we want to grow into a full-fledged, larger avionics company, we'll be expanding beyond the Evolution flight display family as well. And that's something we're beginning to be able to catch our breath and focus on a little bit more right now.
Can you talk about the development and future production schedule for the follow-on units?
Sure. The next set of big follow-on products are our multifunction displays, or MFDs, and we have two versions of those. One, the EFD-1000 MFD, even I stumble over it, and the other is the EFD-500 MFD, the distinction being the first one, the EFD-1000, has a duplicate set of sensors in it, so a second air data computer, a second attitude heading reference system. So while its primary mission is to be a multifunction display, should your primary PFD fail, it can revert and give full PFD functionality, whether it's display failure or a sensor failure, and that'll be unique to the market. So we're working on those products. Those will have high-resolution mapping, sectional-style maps, the full complement of hazard sensor overlays, which is traffic, data link weather, lightning, as well as an internal terrain database of its own, not TAWS-certified, but many TAWS-like capabilities. And those are scheduled for release in the first quarter of 2009. One thing we did move up a little is we're going to take those same weather interfaces and deliver those as an option on the primary flight displays and the lower half navigation display by the end of this year.
Think back a year ago. You think you'd ever come this far this quickly?
Well, in our wildest dreams, we kind of thought maybe, but I think even we were surprised because, you know, you don't really believe your wildest dreams. You know, a year ago at AEA, let's see, we were giving private demos to dealers up in the booth off a bread box system, getting really good positive feedback, and we had our AT300 product here in the booth, but the big draw last year was we were serving margaritas. Now we have product.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find video versions of these interviews at aero-tv.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.